Good Friday afternoon. This is Rich Morrison, and welcome to Kicking Up Dust. There was my, happy birthday to King George Strait. Turned 71 this week, so hope the king had a happy birthday. And hope he did better than the markets did this week. Had some big selling across the board, made some new lows in the corn market and Chicago wheat and the soybean markets here this week, all made new lows. The exception was cotton, which traded higher on the week. So let me give you the rundown of the markets, and then we'll get a little more in-depth on what happened and why. Here this afternoon, the daily close, July corn was down 0.75 cents at 5.54 1/2. December corn down a penny at 4.99 3/4. July soybeans were down 26 cents at 13.07 1/4. November soybeans down 11 1/2 at 11.75 1/2. July Chicago wheat down 6 3/4 at 6.05. Kansas City July wheat down 32 3/4 cents at 8.24 1/4. Minneapolis July wheat down 24 1/2 cents at 8.04. July cotton up 6 points at 86.72. December cotton up 17 points at 83.89. July rice was down 27 points at 17.06 1/2. August live cattle up 67 1/2 cents at 164.30. August feeder cattle were up 60 cents at 235.10. August hogs down 240 at 81.50. The dollar index down about a third of a point. Crude oil up 21 cents a barrel at 71.65. Gold ended up $18 an ounce at 1978 an ounce. And the Dow ending up the day, it looks like down about 132 points at 33,486. As far as the week went, July corn down 31 3/4 cents. December corn down 9. July soybeans down 82 3/4 cents. November soybeans down 48 1/4 cents. Chicago July wheat down 30 cents. Kansas City July wheat down 52 3/4 cents. And Minneapolis July wheat down 42 cents. July cotton was the exception. Finished up 6.19 cents on the week. The August live cattle up $1.85, August feeders up $6.12, and the August hogs down 4.57 1/2. So also in the macro markets, the dollar was up over half a point, crude oil up $1.62 a barrel, gold down $40 an ounce, the Dow finishing the week up about 130 points. So a lot of movement here this week for the month of May, which is, you know, kind of counter-seasonal in some of these markets, especially the corn and soybean markets, typically tend to trend a little higher, or at least to start a little trend higher this time of the year. But, you know, 2013, we've been talking about this a lot. I've been talking about it since last fall. You know, this is kind of set up to be an odd year. And it, to me, it was set up to be a year where it was somewhat reminiscent of 2013. Somebody pointed out on another podcast this morning that, you know, no 2 years are the same. And that's very true. But you see a lot of similarities in this year to 2013. First of all, we had high prices, or we're coming off of a year with very high prices. And the first thing that the high prices have done is to cut demand. And we saw that back as we finished 2012. We saw it again this winter, and we've really seen it happen over the last couple of weeks with these cancellations of Chinese purchases. That's been a big tell. The other one has been soybeans, and you've seen China purchases of U.S. beans back way down as they continue to try to wait until you get into the South American harvest. And so that's been a factor. You've seen it a factor in the wheat market here with now we're seeing the U.S. Importing wheat out of Europe, which that's the first time that's happened in a long, long time. But high prices in the U.S. really cut demand for U.S. wheat, and even to the extent of causing millers to have to go somewhere else to find it. So, you know, we cut demand. Then the next thing we're looking at is production increases. And South America was the first to step up to the plate. We saw a 5% increase in Brazilian plantings this year. followed up by a good growing season following last year's drought down there. So a record crop being harvested right now. It looks like potentially a record corn crop coming out down there as well. Even though Argentina had its problems this year, we had big numbers coming out of Brazil. Now you're following it up with a big jump potentially in U.S. corn plantings, enough beans to raise production at a time where demand is slipping and we're not fully online yet with this this domestic crush increase. And so we need that to step up to the plate as quick as possible to make up for some of the loss in export demand. So, you know, it's just that combination of factors that we faced back in 2013 that we're seeing again here in 2023 that for the moment have everybody believing that we're going to have a big jump in stocks next year. Now, that can change, certainly. We don't have the crop in the bin. We, you know, as of last Monday, we were only 50% planted, so still got a lot of corn that's going in the ground right now, or as of 2 weeks ago, I should say. But nonetheless, the forecast looked good. And, you know, the fund traders, you know, you look at what they do typically, and, you know, they, it seems like, you know, you go back 20 years ago, 20, 30 years ago, even 40 years ago. Now I've been in this business for a while, but, you know, the funds used to hang on for a while. They'd wait and see how pollination went, or, you know, the speculative trader back then, they'd wait and see how the pollination window went before they completely bailed out. They didn't want to miss out on a rally. Nowadays, it's almost the opposite. You know, they set themselves up for a potential rally, but in a year like this where we're looking at growth in stocks and where USDA has made those indications, you know, the funds don't want to be the last ones out the door, and they want to get ahead of the farmer as far as liquidation goes. And so, you know, you've seen them be very active sellers over the last several weeks, and, you know, knowing that the farmer is going to start selling. I talked to a farmer this morning, said he knew another, knew at least two guys that had at least 60,000 bushels of corn still left on the farm. People had been holding out until, you know, this big summer rally. And it may or may not happen, who knows. But, you know, the funds have not wanted to wait around just in case that farmer selling, that farmer liquidation happened. And so they've continued to liquidate. We do see their updated position here this afternoon. Kind of get those numbers for you. Funds had been net buyers, actually, for the previous week heading into from Tuesday to Tuesday night. Now, we know they've been net sellers here at the end of the week, but funds in corn had bought almost 18,000 contracts the previous week. They're still short 92,000 contracts of corn. In the soybeans, they had sold 24,000 contracts of their length that previous week, still long 24,000. I would imagine they've shaved a little bit more off of that here at the end of the week, so they may be getting back down close to zero. They're holding a huge long in bean meal, 80,000 contracts, and that's probably weighing on the bean market. In the wheat market, funds are short 112,000 contracts of soft red winter wheat. That's not a record short position yet, but they're not far from it. Hard red wheat, they're still long 16,000, which, again, probably attributed to some of the selling we saw today and here at the end of the week. And in hard red spring wheat, they're short about 5,000 contracts. So they're already short there. But it seems like right now they're just wanting to liquidate any long position they've got, and that's what you're really seeing take place. I don't have the cotton on here. I do. I'm sorry. Funds are short 12,000 contracts of cotton. They bought 1,000 in the previous week. So if nothing else, we're seeing maybe a little bit of buying there is maybe we're, you know, unsure about what's going to happen with acres. We've seen some decent export sales over the last couple of weeks or so. I still think that the acreage number is not going to be there in cotton. We'll see if it happens, but that's maybe attributed to some of the buying that we've seen here recently. In the livestock market, we did have a cattle and feed report this afternoon showed that total cattle and feed down another 3% versus last year. Placements were down. Marketings were down. Not a surprise, but nonetheless, kind of confirming what we've been seeing. We did see the cattle market trade sharply higher, feeders higher this week, and you saw some, you know, some of the reason why in that report. As far as the funds went, funds are long 100,000 contracts of live cattle. That could get to be a little bit of a burdensome number. Feeder cattle, they're only long about 15,000, so feeders actually gained on live, which makes sense. Hogs, they were short about 20,000 contracts here through the middle of this week, and certainly sold some more here at the end of the week. So now as we go forward, what's going to happen? Something I've written about a little bit here lately has been the corn spreads, the old crop, new crop. You look at the inverse in the corn market right now from July to December, it's about 55 cents. July over December. And, you know, you're really trading two different crops there. The July corn crop is last year's crop, but you're trading this year's ending stocks, which are right now estimated about 1.4, a little bit above 1.4 billion bushels. Some people think that number is going to eventually hit 1.5 billion, which is a much more comfortable situation. But a few months ago, we were down around 1.2. And what's really changed since then, ethanol grind has not been living up to where it was maybe estimated. But the big number is export demand. You know, with the cancellation of the sales to China, with shaving back of other sales, that export number, right, five straight months now, USDA has lowered its export estimate. And so that continues to be a factor. And the reason that we're seeing maybe this old crop corn market coming down. Now, if you think about this fund position of short 90,000 contracts, I would assume that most of that has been in the December contract or out in the new crop, where we've been talking about this big jump in ending stocks of up to 2 billion bushels or more. And so I think now what you did see here at the end of the week was a little bit of a reversal. You know, these funds had been long July, thinking that we were going to, you know, be tight. They'd been short December, thinking we were going to have this big crop this year. And now you're starting to see some unwinding of that spread. You're starting to see funds maybe now leery that we have too much old, or enough old crop corn. There's no reason for the big premium, so they're starting to sell the July. But maybe buying back the December a little bit just to, just in case, you know, in case there's some weather situation. And, you know, we really don't have any risk premium in that market at this point in time. So I think that's what you saw here at the end of the week. You saw the December contract gain on the July. I think you could continue to see more of that, you know, over the next several weeks here as we move into fall. And, you know, again, you got a 54 cent inverse between, you know, from July to December. Same thing in beans. Beans at about $1.32 inverse tonight, July versus November. Now, we really are tighter on bean stocks here in the U.S. Plus, with the amount of domestic crush that we have in the United States, I think that that's keeping the premium in the bean market. But we saw 15 cents of that inverse taken out today. And so, you know, you can justify some inverse. I don't know if you can justify $1.30. So that's, you know, going to be a factor here as we go forward as well. The wheat market, big factor here this week was the news about importing wheat. Boy, that was a shocker to the market. And everybody was looking at the Kansas wheat tour and seeing the lower numbers. I think they came out with a 30 bushel number, which a lot of people I see on social media still think that number is way too high. Historically, USDA tends to be, I think, slightly below the Kansas number. So we'll see what happens there. But this import news really was an eye opener that maybe the wheat market is just priced too high. It's a world market, and nobody thought that the U.S., you know, logistically would make it work to bring wheat into the country, but it's happened. And so now it's a head scratcher. People are looking at, you know, between $8 and $9 wheat going, well, is that right? Should we be there? Does that make sense given that the price of wheat around the globe is a lot cheaper? And now with shipping costs coming down, that we've been able to bring wheat into the United States. So that's been the big, big factor in the wheat market. So as we go into summer, you know, we've got oversold markets, corn, soybeans, many of the wheat markets, really technically oversold. You know, it is the time of the year where markets tend to trade higher from now till, you know, into early July. I don't know that somebody brought up to me this morning, you know, that almost every year, I think since 2007, that we've gone back and And at some point after the crop insurance price was set in February, we've gone back later in the year and touched that. I'm not sure if we did in 2013 in corn. If we did, it was very, very brief. But boy, that would be a big, big jump today. That'd be 92 cents, 91 cents from where we're at tonight. I doubt that can happen without a severe weather problem. Same in beans at 1350 or 1376. We're $2 below right now. That would take an extreme move. And so, you know, this is, again, this is something that we feared back last winter, really fall, winter, that, you know, you're looking at a, you know, you've cut so much off the demand side of the equation on these crops that with a big crop this year, it's going to be tough to sustain prices. And so that's the kind of where we're at right now. The good news, if you bought higher level crop insurance revenue policies, whether it's with ECO, margin protection, even SCO, you've stacks and cotton, which the cotton price is not down right now, but the other crops, certainly those higher coverages provide some price protection to the downside. It's going to depend on your yields for the county and your crop and whatever, but where we sit right now, we know that we've got some protection, at least from those policies. So that's the good news. From a marketing perspective, you know, I would look at December corn. I mentioned the other day the 50-day moving average, which is around 545 right now. Maybe you get up around 535 to 540. I don't know if I'd be, you know, holding out for too much more than that, but I think that'd be a good place to be getting some more December corn sold. Beans, let's look at the same thing. I guess let's look at the 50-day moving average, but boy, that would be a huge jump. That's at 1284. That's $1.09 above tonight's close. But that's about where the May high was in November soybeans. So, you know, 1275, probably a place where I'd want to have some offers working for me, at least for right now. We look at the spring wheat market. We've taken, really in 2 days, we've dropped, almost 50 cents out of the spring wheat market. I think, again, you get the 100-day moving average has been my target in this chart for several months. We've been above it two or three times. We were above it just 3 days ago, and now here we are back below it. But that's at 863. I still think that that's a good target to be pricing some of the spring wheat. In cotton, you know, cotton's the market I've been holding out on, and I still hold out. You know, maybe the spring high up around 87 cents or the winter high might be a level to go ahead and get some sales made, or a put call, min-max type strategy. I think in December cotton probably makes sense again to look at, but I'm willing to sit tight and let's see where this cotton market can go. So I don't have a whole lot of good news for everybody as we head into the weekend. We'll watch weather. Certainly weather is always a factor. Even today we saw some differentiation in some of the forecasts. I prefer the European models. Historically, they tend to be a little more accurate than the GFS, the U.S. model. The Euro model today looks, you know, it's bringing some rain to the southern plains in week one, week two, southern central, even up into the northern plains getting some rain. So they're a little drier in the eastern belt, but that, to me, isn't really a problem at this point in time. I think one of the GFS models did get a little bit drier in more of the eastern parts of the country as you got out into the beginning of June. So there might be something there to look at. And with the funds very sold, heavily sold right now, with the markets technically very oversold, wouldn't be shocked at all in the next 3 weeks to see a little bit of a weather bump. And so if you've got crops to sell, old, new, I'd probably sit tight here at the moment, wait for something like that to happen. Looks like $5 seems to want to support the corn market. I thought 12 would support beans. It's not been the case yet. So we'll see what happens there. $6 Chicago wheat, $8 Kansas City, Minneapolis seem to be support for the moment. So we'll see if those can hold as well. Monday afternoon, we get our updated crop progress numbers. And so we'll see the planting progress. It's probably still going to show good progress. We're still probably going to be a few days ahead getting the crop in the ground, getting crop emerged. And so, you know, I don't think there's going to be anything friendly come out of that report on Monday. And so we'll look at exports and other stuff as we go through the week. So with that, I'll let you go. Thanks for listening to Kicking Up Dust. A little bit longer today, but I wanted to give everybody kind of a full rundown on some things. And so hope you have a great day and a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again very, very soon.